Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast, number 38. This week, we sit down with Ethan Newberry, friend of ours. He played a drift racer in VGHS, and he's also a producer of the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, Welcome to the Jungle, which is out now and on demand and in select theaters. One of the reasons why, actually, we were able to shoot with Jean-Claude Van Damme in our latest video, which is up on our site, rocketjump.com, as well as the YouTube channel. So if you haven't seen that yet, check it out. Speaking of Jean-Claude movies, I think he's probably one of our heroes. It was crazy to be able to meet the guy. The guy was, by the way, still jacked. He's getting older, but he could bench press all of us combined. He was insanely ripped still, and still got the kicks going too. If you want to check out some Jean-Claude kicks, by the way, I'd recommend the new Expendables movie. He plays the villain in that, in Expendables 2, which incidentally is streaming on Netflix. And if you don't have a Netflix subscription, we're doing a really cool promotion with them. Head on over to netflix.com/rocketjump. You can get a 1 month free trial of Netflix. You can watch all the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies you want. Heck, Schwarzenegger, all the old school action guys, it's on there. You can get them, you know, DVD streaming, whatever. You can just fill up your whole month with nothing but 80s action movies. It'd be a good month spent, by the way. You could also fill up that month by watching season one, season two of VGHS, which is also on Netflix. And speaking of VGHS, right now, time is running short. We have 3 days left for the Indiegogo campaign for season three, the third and final season of VGHS. So head on over to rocketjump.com/campaign to get in on some really, really cool campaign exclusive perks. We got loot crates. We got board games that you can get before they're out in stores. You can also get now a Razer mouse pad just got added in there at the $50 standalone tier. So head on over to rocketjump.com/campaign. See all the cool things you can get and support us on the third and final season of Video Game High School. Speaking of supporting us, support the podcast too. Head on over to iTunes, download it, and subscribe to it. Our subscription numbers are actually really important in the world of podcasts. We'll do a podcast about this one of these days, about the weird business side of these things. But having subscribers helps. So no matter where you watch it, head on over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast. You're helping us out immensely by doing that. We hope you enjoy, and enough yammering. Here's the podcast. Welcome, everybody, to another Face Rocker podcast. I am joined by my stalwart co-host, Matt Arnold.
Hello.
Desmond Dolly.
Hey, how's it going?
And myself, Freddie Wong. Today, we sit with Ethan Newberry.
In a land, one boy, one dinosaur, and an hour of love.
This is some porno now.
I'm sorry.
We just, porno. As we were testing out our mics and getting our sound levels, we found that your voice, you do the deep voicing, but these mics really accentuate
these
it.
These mics are awesome. Ew. I don't have to work that hard. So if this is my regular voice.
But then all of a sudden, it turns into a terrifying movie.
You should call your mother like that.
Mom, it's your son. I'm in the house.
He's calling from in the house.
With Grace Helbig.
you may know Ethan as Clutch from VGHS.
You may.
As the greatest character on VGHS. You've probably seen him on numerous commercials at this point, right?
Yeah, like a commercial guy. Well, actually, I will say you probably haven't seen me in the commercials, but I've been in almost every one of them. Like every commercial I book, you barely see my face. I'm totally cool with it. I'm like that silent actor that, sure, I'm getting my paycheck. Totally cool with it. Yeah. But yeah, you don't see my face until
you just get a sweet like,
That's it. Like a big laugh.
How do they direct that, by the way?
So for those of you who don't know, which you, none of you,
AKA all of you,
there's a Coke Zero commercial. You can actually go to the Coke Zero YouTube page, but it's an older one.
Real quick, who's so into Coke Zero? They're like, I gotta so see what it. Sick video they got.
I'm liking this.
Clearly, this is my newsfeed.
Subscribe.
Clearly, their podcast is sponsored by Coke Zero.
It's an older commercial. It was all during NFL early season, and the way it plays out is like it opens with a scene of three guys sitting on a couch watching football, totally bored and zoning out. And it's called It's Not Your Fault, or Not Your Fault, I think, is the ad campaign.
They debated about the it's or no it's for a long time.
It's not your fault.
It is not your fault. It is. Guys, come on, think about this.
But then it cuts to another scene where it takes place in Roman times. So we travel back. I'm sorry. We travel back in time to caveman time. So we did like all the caveman makeup. And then it transfers forward in time to the Roman era. And that day on set, it was awesome because the director's like, okay, well, why don't you guys come outside and we'll show you our Roman set. And it was a bunch of tiered seats that they had us sit in. And there's like a fog machine below us giving us like dust.
Authentic Roman fog.
Authentic
yeah.
Roman dust fog. And then they brought in like 50 extras to sit around us to act like other Romans.
Like fully like toga'd out?
We were all totally toga'd out. And we just kept doing take after take. He's like, okay, so I want you to look down and like do a hurrah. And then the other guy goes, hmm. And then the last guy goes, huh? You know, like, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to have fun. So then when I look down, I go, oh, yeah. Like I do that. Like I totally just start laughing at the bloodshed. And I look around and no one else is laughing. And I just go, are you not entertained? And the director's like, yes. More of that. More stealing Russell Crowe. More of that.
So that actually worked. Your insane tactic actually worked.
It totally worked. That's in the final cut.
That wasn't that long ago. That was like 8 months, 7 months.
But if you go to their YouTube page, they have.
Oh, yeah.
Tons
I mean,
of
I guess that's long for the internet now. You said older. Yeah. It's like, it's not like 8 years old.
Internet's like dog years times 1,000.
Yeah. No, it's like, it might still be airing for all I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, What's Trending, host, yes. Co-host. Mm-hmm. And. Also, I need to bring this up because we are in the middle of, hopefully by the time this podcast comes out, still in the middle of the Winter Olympics. It's been 4 years.
I met Freddie for the first time at the Vancouver Winter Olympics.
It's crazy to me. Our life is tied to the Winter Olympics.
We have to tell the story.
We do. We do. So here's also my side of it, and then you tell your back side of it.
Great.
And then we'll meet in the middle in Vancouver. Okay. So. David, one of our friends, he's a producer over at 505.
He's a producer.
Came to me one day over winter break, 2009. And he I don't know how he heard about this, but there was a contest that Samsung was putting on. Samsung being one of the big perennial sponsors of the Olympics. I hope I'm using that word right. They're doing a contest where they were looking for what they called mobile explorers. And what it was to go to the Olympics and do a thing and do social media. And this is like right when like Facebook and like tweets were like starting to be like,
thing.
Whoa, this is going to be huge, guys. Yeah. It's going to be big. We need to get social media. We got to get a social street team on the thing. So they were going to pick 5 teams from the United States, paired up and go up to the Winter Olympics and cover it for them. And we had
Can say go down. It's Canada.
That's true. Yeah.
We'll go down.
Go down over to, yeah. But we had no idea what the heck it actually entailed. Just that it was like, there was a money involved at first and then a potential prize. And we're like, okay, yeah, go for it. So he shot some bits. I shot some bits around Seattle, vote for us type of thing. And this was on the YouTube channel I remember specifically, I had 5,000 subscribers on YouTube.com/FreddieW. 5,000 people who had seen the Guitar Hero videos and been like, this guy seems cool.
Like the original Freddie.
The original, yeah. Old school, OG, before any of this stuff, right? So we went down there and we got picked as one of the groups and we got flown up there. And Ethan, tell your backside.
Okay, so everything's exactly the same. someone emailed me, hey, check out this contest that Samsung's doing. And I was like, sounds like a great chance to just go to the Olympics.
Yeah, just to go to the Olympics.
And what were you
cool.
doing at the time?
Yeah, you were doing some sort of
I was doing the Real Cool Club, so I was doing live comedy shows every week with my comedy partner at the time, Lindsay Harbert, who we're still very good friends. She was hosting with me and doing live improv and acting. I mean, at that point,
by the way, as we found when we met each other, you had done some live hosting up in Seattle, right?
Yeah, like we have the Seattle connection because we're both from.
And what was crazy is, okay, so this goes even farther back. In high school, the Seattle Times put on a short video contest that I entered in the 12th grade, I think. And I made a Segway. There was a Segway rental company. And I made a Segway action sword fight scene where my friends and I rented out 2 Segways and then just effed off with them off into the and just did a fight scene joust with them. Shot on the Canon XL1, actually.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful shoulder mount camera with DV tapes.
Yeah, old school mini DV tapes. And that was one of the, I don't know, finalists or what, I don't know how they did. It was a winner or they had multiple winners or some shit of the contest. I didn't go to the premiere event, but I learned now that who was emceeing that event?
Me. So I actually premiered your action film. I didn't know, Freddie, Didn't remember him after that night.
No,
because I was like, this film is not worth my memory.
Blows. Capital B blows.
But I know, I actually remember that film. You actually rode a Segway downstairs.
Yes, it's so dangerous.
But they rented them. And the whole time I'm watching this going, I hope the rental company doesn't see this. Because you ripped them up.
Oh, we went crazy with them.
So at the time, I was doing a bunch of acting and stuff like that, but someone sent me this link to this contest, and I was like, oh my God, this sounds awesome. Free trip to Olympics. I love Vancouver. My girlfriend at the time, now my fiance, I don't want to say girlfriend at the time, but she was my girlfriend. Now she is my fiance.
Technically correct. The best kind of correct.
But we decided to, my friend Lindsay and I, my comedy partner and I, decided to put a video together, much like Freddie and David, and submit it to Samsung. And we didn't know if it involved audience vote, if it involved...
Yeah, who knows with this stuff.
Views, you know, whatever. So we just posted it. And next thing we know, we're both going to the Olympics.
And what was funny about that was, I think there was a sense at first for all, because there's five groups of people, and this is also where I met Daystorm. Daystorm was another group, and that's how I learned about YouTube Partners, and I drilled him about all the questions for it, and that's the beginning of the whole thing.
He had just quit his day job to become a full-time YouTuber.
Yeah, when Freddie came back, he was like, guys,
this is happening.
Guys, yeah, that's literally it. Financially, it can do it. This is how we had to do it, though.
Yeah, and what's funny is that at first, and also... It's crazy that everybody in that group is slowly coming back to LA. So there was whatever. So it was funny because it didn't take too long to kind of figure out like this contest is kind of crap. Like it wasn't a very fun contest.
Was it kind of rigged or you were just like, I just remember all the updates where you're just like, this is not really well organized and I don't
it was
think
not,
who won?
Anywhere.
Was it, did you guys win?
We won.
Yeah. We won. Okay. So it was rigged.
No, I will totally.
I remember like halfway through everybody was like, you know what? Because you start your last two videos got weird.
Oh, we
and
oh,
you were and
yeah.
you were like, and I just remember getting, because you were just giving us these daily updates because I think none of us wanted you to do it. We're kind of like, dude,
Freddie, what are you doing?
One,
with
we didn't
yourself?
Think you were gonna do it. And halfway through, we're like, dude, this is like the biggest waste of time. You're just doing Samsung stuff.
We were also, I remember watching your videos, Ethan, and thinking, oh, well, those guys are. They're pretty good.
Yeah, well, to be fair, halfway through, Freddie was also,
back out.
Those are better reactions than I had when I watched our own videos. Because I would watch them and go, oh, we're such tools.
Well, no, they were good. Because I remember Freddie going through, they were like one of the people. No, because I remember.
I mentioned you guys the other group. I was like, yeah, these guys are good.
Yeah, Freddie kept saying, like,
there,
exactly.
Yeah.
He was like, I met new friends up there. Mm-hmm. Like, I have friends now. It's these guys. Like, oh, these guys are cool. But I just remember like halfway through, Freddie's like, this contest is not a real contest. I'm just going to. I think I know what's good. I think I'm, me and David are not going to do this, so let's just start it. He's like, we don't have a chance. So let's last two were really weird.
The writing was on the wall for us just because we're like, we could feel it go a certain direction. So we're like, all right, here's our chance to just make some weird.
Well, Ethan's way more handsome than you, number one.
Right.
Yeah.
His partner was a girl.
He had an
instead
attractive
of David.
Female partner.
Yes.
And they were good. So the writing was on the wall.
The writing was all. So we're like, here's our chance to do some weird ass shit. Which we did, which I'm very well. Not as weird as I had hoped, but we did manage to do it.
Are these videos still on your YouTube page?
Yeah, they're way back.
They're still on mine.
YouTube.com/FreeW.
So I would love for people to go back and watch these videos.
They're,
your audience hated us.
Oh, they hated you guys. Well, it was all gamers. It was all gamer, loser, nerd.
But it was also very understandable.
I love my audience. You guys are great. But at the time, you guys hated Ethan and those guys.
But it's totally
understandable. They don't like these podcasts either.
Oh,
don't
worry about it.
They're not listening to this. We're fine. We're good.
No one's at home. No one's watching.
Are we literally having a group chortle about the fact that the people who hate us aren't listening to this?
We're just bad at our jobs.
So good. It's so true.
But anyways.
Oh, yes. Gosh. Ethan, what did you win? What was the prize package?
I like that you were reading his comments, though. I like that you were going to Freddy's.
Oh, no, we all were.
Everybody was.
Because
Daystorm had the biggest YouTube presence out of everybody.
He was killing us.
He was destroying with them views. Yeah, killing it, yeah.
The thing was, is the way that they had it done is we had to submit our video in hard format, right? Like on their hard drive.
Oh,
so they posted it to their site. So you couldn't see viewership. So when you know that Daystorm has a 70,000, I think at that point it was 76,000 subscribers. You know that his audience, which are just adamant about his content, are going there and watching his video and voting and doing all this stuff. And meanwhile, we are just kind of like, we're getting creamed on the views. We know it.
Yeah.
But then you see, like, Freddie wins one of the videos, and then I win one of the videos.
That's right. They win per week or whatever, or like per video there's a winner.
Well, here's what's liked about the contest. So, I mean, everyone involved was great.
Samsung was wonderful, though.
Samsung was
wonderful
as a host. Yeah. What sucked about the contest, though, was I mean, it was like literal. What's interesting about it, actually looking back, was it was like the crucible to go. That month was a was like a test to see could you can you keep up with like a YouTube schedule, because that was what that's what it was. It was.
I remember
like
you
a
guys
video.
Were like dying, and you like you wanted to go to Olympic events, and you went to like
that was the big problem. None.
That was a big problem. Yeah, it was that they had you know Samsung awesome tickets, and you managed to catch a couple. But like the big thing about it was like, can you do the video in 3 days? And finish it and be done 100%. Yeah. All right, now do it nonstop. Do five in a row like that. Mm-hmm. That was actually incredibly good experience to lead right into the YouTube page.
I mean, look, Daystorm, you, Ethan.
Well, so, here's this is the part I would like to tell.
Star makers.
So we ended. So Lindsay and I ended up winning the contest. We went to the same thing where you had to do videos every single
Freddy.
Week. We
destroyed. Oh my god! Freddy.
No, I don't even want to say that. I want to say like Freddy's videos made me laugh and made me entertained the crap out of me. And I watched my videos and just went, "Oh man, we are selling the fuck out!" Like, ugh. But you know, we had a great time up there,
yeah.
And they took care of us. But we just had to work so hard. We didn't actually get to enjoy so much of the Olympics as much as we wanted.
Yes.
So at the end of the time. We got a prize. Our prize, I believe, was a $24,000 that we would split.
Yeah, there was cash, someone in that range that you split.
So it was like $24,000 that we split. So Lindsay and I got 12 after taxes. You don't get that much. And you take a month of your life to go do this. Lindsay had to quit her job to go do this. So in the reality, it's like, I think we kind of broke even. And I feel bad for the people that didn't get anything. So they were in the negative. So I'm like, okay, well, we come back from that. You know, what's next?
Now? You guys are now official Samsung Mobile Explorers.
Right. So maybe they're going to like take us to other events.
Or you were something? Like we became Mobile Explorers.
Yes. So they did send us to other events that we just were obligated to do. But they were fun. Like, we got to go to a NASCAR event, which is really cool, and we got to go to this other thing. We got to meet Matthew McConaughey and Dean Karnazes.
Were you paying
like
for
that.
These events?
All right.
No, it was part of the... Congratulations, you won.
Congratulations. Oh,
you won the work.
So after obligation. This whole period, let's jump ahead 6 months.
This is great.
I'm kind of reevaluating what I'm doing with my life. Like 6 months later and going, you know, that contest, that was really cool. I'm really happy that we won that. What's Daystorm doing? Oh, he's at like 500,000 subscribers. What's Freddy doing? Oh, he's at like a million subscribers. They already have like lives. And Lindsay and I are just eating top ramen or something, you know? It's
as Mobile Explorers.
As Mobile Explorers.
Mobile Explorers.
But we're Mobile Explorers.
How long did that last? How long were you Mobile Explorers?
I think our contract or whatever was like 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
But I still see... Do you remember David? Yeah. Like the higher up, the guy was super sweet.
Yeah, he was like a hard... Yeah, he was a hardcore dude. Yeah.
I see him at CES. He comes up and like anytime he knows where I'm at, if he's in the same town, he'll come up and introduce himself. And it's like, hey, what's up, man? I'm like, oh my God. He's like, what's it like being famous? I'm like...
David was a very interesting man. David was a very interesting man. He spoke in a very specific way. And also, he took out everybody for like dinner and like... It was so clear what the pecking order in that room was because it was like, he was like, I would like to take everybody out for Korean barbecue. And then I was like, okay. And like everyone running the contest was like, don't screw this up. Don't screw this up. He's a boss. He's a boss. He's a boss. And I'm like, whoa, it got really serious in here. Like everybody was like looking out for their job. Like at that moment, like, cause he was so clearly like such a high up at the company. Like, don't screw this up. Don't screw this up.
Don't mess it up. Just a minute. But he's the nicest guy.
He is. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And he loves what we do. He loves YouTube. He loves that space.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so every time I see him, it's really funny. He's like, a
so
kid.
Yeah, that's how we met. That's like the beginnings of it. And how strange that life has led us on this circumnavigating path back now into this room where we're talking about the Olympics again.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, have you guys seen these pictures from Sochi?
Oh, yeah. The Sochi Problems
it's
is amazing.
It's so incredible.
Sochi Problems?
SochiProblems.com. Tumblr?
Yeah.
Oh, so
Twitter.
Incredible.
It's pretty amazing.
The thing right now, by the way, is just it's nothing but slow-mo animated GIFs of people eating it on like the slope-style courses.
Ooh.
I don't remember that many people eating it that hard in Vancouver.
No.
Yeah. There's a good tweet. There's like a head of the Olympics that's kind of like... the half pipes have gotten safer. It's the tricks that are making it more dangerous or something.
Yeah. No,
it's like a little bit like blaming the victim. Like, I don't know. It's like, have the tricks really gotten that much more absurd than before?
Yes, they have.
Okay, they really have.
To be fair, yes, they have. But it's one of those weird things where...
It's one of those weird psychological things where because the slopes are safer, it makes the people feel like they can push themselves harder.
People are just generally pushing
kind of like,
themselves harder.
No, like it's safer to actually not wear a bike, arguably, because like you end up being a safer rider. Have you heard those things?
The bike helmet stuff and
bike helmet and having no curbs on streets like cause less pedestrian deaths because everybody drives slower.
I don't think
pedestrians.
Maybe, but it's definitely a guy does two flips. So next year, you want to top that? You got to do three.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, this, it's the sport itself. But then they add all these competition. New, then they add all these, like, there's, isn't there like a stupid new snowboard one that everyone's like, this is really lame.
I literally have not watched a single thing.
I haven't watched the Winter Olympics
at all. I will say, by the way, it's really weird to go from being in Vancouver, being in the host city, everything is about the Olympics. Yeah. Like, everywhere you turn, it's on every TV, it's what anyone's talking about, to now this, which is probably the experience that most people have, which is, oh, that's going on. And kind of checking out here and there. It was crazy to be in. And that was probably one of the best experiences of the whole thing, was like the Canada U.S. hockey team was crazy, because you walked down the middle of the street of Vancouver and it was, you've never been in the middle of a city and it had to be so quiet. Like, you literally could not hear cars.
Yeah.
And it was just everywhere. Like, this is weird. You've never heard the sound of a city empty and quiet because everyone's at home watching this hockey game. You know, that was a really interesting experience.
Yeah, because everyone in that city is either rooting for their team, which is playing at that moment, or they're visiting from out of town, and they're also watching that because they know it's a big moment for that country.
Yeah,
I feel like we don't have that ever. Like
there's sports, nothing like the World Cup.
Like the World, yeah, exactly. Yeah. The rest of the world has soccer, which that stuff happens all the time. I mean, there was a World Cup in '96. I don't know if you guys were here during '96.
What, in the country?
Yeah,
no, it was in the U.S. But yeah, again, it's, even there, it's not as big as it is anywhere else. So it's like, it was kind of cool. Like, it was exciting.
Kobe
the
Jones.
World Cup was here. Yeah, exactly. There was like.
That
soccer
ginger.
Was hot for like 4 weeks here. There's a soccer convention.
Alexi Lalas.
Yep.
It might get hot again if football goes.
What do you mean if football goes?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, because it's like, who decides football? It's moms. Moms decide where football goes, and they don't decide.
What are you talking about?
As a sport.
Moms decide where football
this
goes.
Was the most, this
moms?
Is the weirdest transition.
Hold on. Wait, hold on.
It's all about the moms.
All right, let's go. No, I'm curious. This is what you're saying.
The future of football is decided by the moms, because the players from football are kids who go start in Pop Warner leagues, and they go into middle school, high school, all the way through. So their decisions to let their kids play football due to safety concerns happens now, which means that those players that would have been pro players in the future don't go up and be pro players for another 20
years. Is there less Pop Warner happening now?
People are starting to say that. That's like, well, a lot of parents are starting to get concerned. But like, now it's like, okay, hey, by the way, guaranteed concussive injuries, guaranteed brain damage from this sport. Like, moms are being like, maybe football's not the right sport for my kid. Maybe
well,
I
because
soccer is
really popular as kids, like still in America.
That's
it's
probably
maybe the most popular sport, actually. I think it's so bigger than almost
that's true,
any
but that's the same thing with any pro sport, which is you need to start young.
But then nobody plays after, like.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things too, where it's like, if you start young, you have to start young to get, at the moment, to get into like hockey, football, like all those games, all the sports. You're starting when you're a little kid.
Where's that documentary, Head Games? Wait, have you gotten a concussion in wrestling?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Multiple times.
Two.
How does it happen?
Two that I know of.
Thrown.
There was one. A guy went in for a double leg and scooped me up.
Basically, he lifted me over his head. Double leg he was looking
and
for.
And illegally slammed me back down. It looked like something out of an anime. He wasn't supposed to do that. He was very
illegal,
upset
right?
with
he
me.
He was very athletic.
Knocked me right out. He was incredibly athletic, way more so than I was at that time. Knocked me out. I remember standing up and looking at my coach and not knowing where I was, and him just saying, "You're fine. You have to go back and wrestle this guy." I was like, oh no, what's
you have
happening
a brother
to
named
me?
Benji.
Yeah.
He looks like you.
How about you, Ethan? Ever a concussion?
No.
Did you play much sports as a kid?
I did soccer. Mm-hmm. And
soccer was such a Seattle thing.
It was such a Seattle thing. Going and having oranges
Sounders.
At halftime.
I got a concussion in soccer. I got kicked in the head as a goalie.
What?
Kicked in the head? Wow.
Yeah, I kicked in the head as a goalie. Yeah.
Whoa.
I was athletic as a kid.
That's why you brought up concussions. You're waiting to get to that.
Well, no, because I was going to. It's an interesting topic. No, it's going to be. It's
I
interesting.
Just called up. I got kicked. Nobody asked me. I got kicked.
So I was talking about the time I got kicked in the head as a goalie while making a great save. No, it was. It's. Because the head game thing was interesting. I was just thinking, if concussions cause a problem, like, let me put it this way. You've got multiple concussions. Unfortunately, that essentially means you have irreparable. Like, you have brain damage that can't be fixed. It's happened.
Irreparable.
It's already happened. Sorry, Des. Same thing with
what?
Me. Yeah, so the question is sports worthwhile for kids at all? Like, that's essentially the argument of head games, is like, a single concussion from football causes significant problems. They're talking about huge increase in risk
in
bipolar
disease.
Sure,
but that's risk-reward, isn't it? Because it's like, what do you get? It's not like you're getting team skills from football. You know, you're getting stuff
it's
where
one
it's
way
like,
to get team skills, yes.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm saying you're right. You can get safer other sort of team skills in other ways, I guess. So what are these safe, approved team skill building activities that are not having concussive risk? What are those?
Trust falls.
Accounting clubs.
Nope.
Trust falls.
Trust.
Chess club. Who's in chess club? I don't know. I was in chess club. Who's in chess club?
No.
Just me.
Debate.
I was in fencing club.
Fuck off,
really?
Forensics, yeah, we talked about this before.
Forensics? You were in fencing?
Forensics League, yeah. That,
really?
Team sport.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, do you solve crimes?
No, forensics,
no,
forensics
League. It's much lamer.
It's debate.
Speech and debate.
Club.
But we used to call it Forensic League.
Oh.
Did you have
rad shirts made up? It's like, we're part of the Forensics League, man.
Step one aside. Man. Yeah, it was one of those. One shirt.
Academic decathlon.
That's a California thing. That's exclusively like a...
Really?
I don't know. I don't remember any schools that had Acadeca as a
Acadeca. There's no way it's just a California thing.
It's not. It's nationally, but
I've seen it too many sitcoms for the only one.
But it's definitely a state by state thing, because there was like no. I don't remember any of that.
Is that like smart kids from one school versus smart kids from another
in the state? And there was like a whole range of things like languages and math and
yeah. Washington State's more like you're all equal.
You're all
equally smart.
Washington State had a brutal piano. Like mm-hmm. high school age stuff, it was chess was pretty crazy good in Washington State, and piano, because Washington State's divided into two halves. You got Eastern Washington, Western Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Western Washington's where all the frou-frou, like, you know, hippie liberals are and who have other things to do. Eastern Washington's where all the like farm kids who get up at 3:30 yeah. a.m. to milk the cows and then practice 6 hours of piano.
Yeah.
So I remember the state competitions for piano. He's like, are they
conservative?
Yes, generally.
Yeah, okay, it's just,
generally.
Yeah, it's like very strange. These are all the Blue Heart liberals. These are guys who work on a farm and play piano.
What classification is that?
Yeah.
What is that?
What is this? Okay. I remember going to the competitions and being like, all right. Because you'd recognize kids, like, yo, this kid's the one. Yeah, Western Washington.
Straight up Rock
Man. Watch out for this kid, son.
Yo, this kid's Western Washington. Kid, where was Rockmanov's killer, son?
He's representing,
yo. He goes up and he'll be like, playback. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, we got. And then, like, one Eastern Washington go up and just, like, just. He's like, oh man, that's what happens.
I vote Republican.
Yeah. that's so what happens when you get good.
Mic drop.
Yo. Oh man.
What's on the east border of Washington? I should know my geography.
Idaho.
Okay, it's Idaho, not Montana.
No, Utah.
Montana's right there. The Idaho panhandle.
Yeah, the little Coeur d'Alene, the little snippet.
Coeur d'Alene is dope, son.
If you like, if you're white,
if you're white and into boat sports, that place is the shit.
Coeur d'Alene has like the highest per capita. Like, I don't know. This is gonna sound. This is gonna sound. No, that'll be Minnesota.
Okay.
No, sorry, I don't know where this. I don't know where the statistic came from. And Benji, our resident Googler, might help me out here. But I believe Coeur d'Alene has like something like the highest percentage of white supremacists like anywhere.
Is that Benji's job?
Before I type this in, we're gonna have to do a spell check on that word.
Coeur d'Alene. A quarter.
No. Oh, wait, no. Hold on. Let's back for a second. Quah. Matt, when did we say Coeur d'Alene?
I'm hearing, I've never heard of the term before. I was hearing Coeur d'Alene. But
Quarter Lane.
So
okay.
What is it?
Never
it's
heard of it. It's like C-O-E-U-R-E
dash
apostrophe
space
D.
D apostrophe.
Yeah.
L-E-A.
Q-U-A.
Quarter.
Quarter.
What does that mean?
It's a French thing.
I think it's like Street of the Lake or Street of the Lane or something.
Yeah.
So there's a lot. I didn't realize there was a lot of lakes there and stuff.
A lot of racists is what.
A lot of racists.
There's a documentary coming out about this like town with a population of like 16 that like a single white supremacist has come in and slowly took over.
The whole town.
It's like literally like a Nazi town now. And
is
this
it
guy.
Coeur d'Alene?
Actually, I don't know where it is, but this documentary is still going on because this is still happening.
Wow.
And it's still just expanding. And there's like 200 people. There's like a church. And everybody's like, how can this happen still? Like, can't somebody come in and like, there's like a black guy who literally is one of the 16 people. He's like, like it's like the trailer is so intense right now.
Wow.
Like, you're like, holy shit. Yeah, I think there's a Kickstarter for it. Like, it's happening right now. They've been filming for about a year and a half. And it's just, crazy leader. Anyway,
Benji may have something.
What you got, Benji?
You're right. Apparently, there was 20,
into the mic, Benji.
Apparently, 20 years ago, I don't have a mic.
20 years ago.
20 years ago, there was a siege at Ruby Ridge.
The siege at Ruby Ridge.
Some dude in his Aryan Nation gang like took over a compound, and they shut up the Aryan Nation compound there. And so, yeah, that's like headquarters.
HQ.
Yeah, HQ.
White HQ. Right there.
They did it with a takeover. HQ was started with an actual.
The hostile. Military
if
takeover.
Any of you are listening, please don't take over
rocket jump headquarters.
Compounds in the name of white people.
Just in general, real quick, does the phrase compound ever result in
anything good?
Of positive imagery at all?
Has anything good ever happened in a compound? It's always like, if something's bad going to happen, you call it a compound.
I was like, compound fracture? No.
I don't like those.
Compound words?
Compound fracture, yeah.
No, but like, there's so many situations where it's like, First of all, how do you get one started? I'm interested in starting.
How do you start a compound?
Yeah, how do you start a compound?
You build it.
You buy one.
Bags of concrete and you mix in the water and you just get after
it. But you clearly
need
like...
And then
you
name it. I mean, we could just call this place a compound.
Yeah.
And then bad things would start happening.
No, don't
people
do
start
that.
Taking
yeah,
it
man,
over.
Take it back.
You start possibly taking over. Cops just showing up and sieging it constantly.
Ethan, have you ever wanted a compound?
Have I ever wanted a compound?
Any compound aspirations?
I've oft referred to where I live as a compound. Just, you know, where
bad,
I live.
Do bad things happen?
Are
you
concerned about a possible takeover
by white supremacists?
Where do you live down to the address and times your home?
I live in Quadalan, and I am a white supremacist, and I have a bunch of minions.
That's going to be the thumbnail of this episode. It's just a picture of you doing this, and then I'm a white supremacist.
Please, no. Please.
Speaking of compounds and ideas for compounds, sorry, I don't mean to belabor the topic, but this has nothing to do with it, but it reminded me of it. I've always had an idea for a timeshare that you could do for like six spyware, like safe houses around the world. I don't know how you would figure this out, but imagine a scenario where you'd be like, yo, I have a network of like 83 safe houses in all the world capital in various world capitals and stuff. And so you just be go
what
to
do
the
they
city.
Do?
No, it's just like it's like you have to like move a plant and like put a keypad in and it'll recognize you and then you can just it's like free vacation stay, you know, type of things. You book it out in advance, obviously. But it's just like sweet hidden spots so that you can feel like a spy in any city.
Is it like Airbnb but
but like with spy shit.
but for like rescue houses or safe
but for
houses.
Like, yeah, for like, yeah. Like
you can only go there B&B. During certain times.
Yeah. Well, when someone else isn't, well, some other super secret spy isn't using it.
When I was in eighth grade, I had a history / social studies / geography teacher that taught us the six major U.S., the six major world locations that if you bombed, you could take over the world.
Whoa, really?
He actually taught us this.
Wait, do you remember
this?
He's
in prison now.
I remember like two or three of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Suez Canal, because if you bomb the Suez Canal, you ruin all trade around South America because boats can't go through the middle.
This guy's just what?
No.
Wait, which Suez Canal or the Panama Canal?
You're right. No, Suez Canal is right on the Nile. So you have to go around the Horn of Africa. The Suez Canal.
Wait, Suez
Canal.
Yeah,
Panama
is
Canal
South America,
is the other one. So you have to go around South America. And I'm trying to remember the other ones. There's like one. There's a
weird ones. Like just like
this guy's just watching
treatment. The water treatment facility in Colorado.
They're like these
at the edge. Yeah,
they're these structures that essentially would ruin world trade.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting.
It would ruin the infrastructure of world organization. Like you would think, oh, this.
Well, this
canal.
Podcast is now being listened to by the NSA. So.
You know, newsflash: they're already. Well, no, they're not.
Yeah, they hate us. Remember,
no, they hate us. Nobody's listening.
That's a. By the way, so real quick. Have you ever guys like just idly thought in your spare time, and again, this is not endorsing such activity, but just thought about terrorist plots that would be really effective?
No.
No, we never thought about that.
I, Des Dali, have never done such things.
Absolutely, and but, mostly in communication with Des Dali sitting to the left of me.
Matt sends me messed up
there's one time
terror text because I have a phobia about people tracking my conversations, so Matt frequently sends me terror text.
No
knowing
way.
That now people are tracking
there's
my
one time. There's one time when all that NSA stuff came out and just telling me about it.
I was panicking about the NSA stuff, so Matt's like, yeah, we should totally blow that up. Yeah, we should totally kill all those guys.
I like across the table just start texting. He just takes that swear. I was like, we should kill the president. And he was like, dude, what the hell? That's not funny at all. He goes, you're
all
right.
As if this were going to defuse the situation, I simply texted back, I don't know who you are.
Like,
Matt's gonna absolve us of any wrongdoing.
Like, well, this guy Matt and Des are gonna kill the president. And it's like, wait, no, this Des guy doesn't know who he is. Never mind.
I don't know who you are. You've hijacked my number, apparently.
Even though it pops up as Matt Arnold.
Matt Arnold. That was great.
Now I'll throw the bloodhounds off the scent.
Sorry, you keep talking. I'm gonna try to see if I can find the because your responses were really good. They were like, why are you trying?
I was trying to be very calculated in my responses. Is not to seem a party to that situation.
I, comma, Des Dali, comma, do not know who is texting.
Yeah, I had my lawyer draft up my text responses.
Well, Freddie, clearly you have because you asked the question.
Well, because
so.
Well, here's why. Because what it really comes down to, without getting into the details of my apparently
plans.
No, what really comes
we're
down
all
to
going
is,
to prison now,
well,
sorry.
What it really comes down to is like it's surprising how like how destructive you could be to the world with so little effort. You know what I mean? Like, with so little, like, it's like, if you imagine
a lot of society is based off of trust, because you're right, at any moment you could probably just drive a car somewhere and run over a ton of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, exactly. So yeah, exactly. So there's the social construct.
Weirdest that, reaction ever.
Yeah. Matt got quiet. Yeah. Anyway, so anyway, I mean, I guess the point is, look, if you just cut 100 brake lines in various cities around the country, I think there would be some chaos. That's all. That's all.
100 brake lines?
You ask somebody cuts 100 brake lines after this thing airs, it's going to be like, wow, our ratings will go up.
Freddie's got some pull.
The ratings will go up. Hey, wow. No press is bad press? Is that the... Yeah, no,
but not with press. The right crowd.
In other words, or in other things.
Did you find him, Matt?
Matt's still searching. There's no easy way to search for text.
We're going to take a quick break here. We will be right back with Ethan Newberry.
Hey guys, how's it going? Jimmy Wong, aka Ted from VGHS here, telling you to check out shop.rocketjump.com. We've got brand new merchandise like iPhone cases and iPad decals to shirts, Blu-rays, and posters, including brand new Season 2 designs from our friends at Danger Brain. There's also the incredibly popular VGHS hoodie, and some of our older shirts are on sale for a great price. So make sure you check it out right after this podcast at shop.rocketjump.com. Thanks so much, guys.
Matt is unable to find his text. They've been deleted by the NSA.
Had everything wiped. And zeroed out all hard drives.
The whole story was a lie is what it was.
So anyway. Ethan, you are doing like producing now, right? You've kind of you've expanded beyond just sort of hosting and acting and that sort of thing. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first opportunity that has come my way of this sort. So there's a new feature film coming out. I believe it's in, I don't know when this podcast is going to drop. But it's currently in theaters, in select theaters. It's called Welcome to the Jungle. It stars Mr. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Hero. Legend.
Action legend. Hero.
And also the president from 24.
Oh, yeah, of course. Dennis Haysbert.
No, Jean-Claude. No, back up.
It's like, when is Jean-Claude in 24? Is he in the new season?
No, what are you spoiling? That would be incredible if Jean-Claude Van Damme was the president in 24. That would make that show so much better. It's already the pinnacle of television, but, you know.
It's coming back.
I can't believe that.
I can, and I am excited. So Dennis Haysbert, President Palmer.
Thank you.
Adam Brody.
Rob Hubel,
Kristen Schaal, really, really funny cast.
Yeah, it's a great cast.
So my good buddy Rob, who directed the very first commercial that I booked in LA, came to me a couple years ago and was like, listen, we've got this really funny film and I'm on to direct it, but we're needing some funding. And what would you think about coming in as a funder, as like a producer, and help make this feature happen? I was like, oh my God, yes, anything I could do to help you make this project happen, I'm all in. So it's a risk because I'm giving money to a project that I've read the script and I think it's funny. I trust the director, but I don't know who the cast is yet, right?
Sure.
So at this point, it's a project
you believe in.
It's a project I believe in, and I believe in the director to make whatever happens gold. So, of course, I'm like, yeah, dude, whatever you need. You gave me my first break. If this is the movie, this is going to be your first major feature film, hell yeah, I'm all in. So I gave him the yes, and next thing I know, he's like, yep, we're fully funded. We're moving on. We're going to Puerto Rico. We're going to shoot it there. I'm like, holy crap, this is actually happening, like an actual feature film. I actually get to help make a feature film. This is crazy. And he's like, oh, and by the way, we've got some cast. I was like, oh, who'd you get signed on? He's like, Jean-Claude Van Damme. I was like, fuck yeah! Fuck yes! I was like, my first fucking feature film was fucking Jean-Claude Van Damme! I don't know if you guys beep.
No.
Great. Basically, I freak out. I freak out for a good hour.
Oh, yeah.
Calling everyone straight. I know, like, oh my God, I fucking produced a movie with fucking Jean-Claude. Fuck! Fuck! Grace Helbig. And so, I just dropped her name as a swear word. So I was really excited. I was super excited. And we saw the very... Like, the final version I saw for the very first time last week.
Oh, wow.
And it was really funny. Cool. I mean, you just don't know when you read the original script how much it's going to change.
Yeah, there's a lot of difference between what's on
the... And there was.
Often, yeah. A lot of difference.
And there was a lot of difference. Like, the whole opening, I would say 10 or 15 minutes, takes place in almost a different frame of mind, a different environment than the script, the original script that I read did. And as I'm watching the movie, I'm going, oh, this is totally different. But it works. It like works way better now seeing it than it did in my head when I read
it.
So you're such a talented cast that probably love improvising with those actors and comedians.
And Rob, the director, he loves that. So he'll get the take, you know, stick to the script and give the performance that he wants to see. But he's also really good about, let's do another one where you do your own thing. And he trusts these comedians. Like Rob Hubel is just a genius. Super funny guy. And Kristen Schaal, she kills it in this movie. She kills it. So I hope.
What's the plot synopsis? What's the basic
outline? So in Hollywood, we often talk about it's the Office Space meets Lord of the Flies, right? Okay. So we kind of compare the two movies. In this case, it deals with a group of coworkers that are working in an ad firm. Adam Brody plays the lesser kind of nerdy version, trying to outwit Rob Hubel. But Rob Hubel steals ideas from him and is kind of the cock of the office. In comes Jean-Claude Van Damme to take the entire office on a team vacation to help like unite the team and bring them all together. What ends up happening is they fly to a deserted island, the pilot dies, and they're stuck, and hilarity ensues. And it turns into literally like Lord of the Flies. It's awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. What was it like producing?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have to do much.
Like a producer.
like a producer, as they do. Don't really have to do much. I mean, I got to read early stuff, and I got to kind of like contribute a little bit on that end. But once he flew to Puerto Rico to do that, I mean, I couldn't be in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to trust that everything's going to happen accordingly. And when he came back, my first question was,
So
how did it go? And he's like, great.
We did a lot of coke.
We did a ton of coke.
Thank you so much.
All your money.
Thank you so much.
Puerto Rican hookers. And Jean-Claude, he just never showed. But so this was actually Jean-Claude's first comedy.
Absolutely.
Comedy movie.
It's a milestone.
Yeah, it's a milestone for him because he's done, I don't know, 850 films.
Not to say that any of his movies aren't funny.
No.
But this is his first straightforward comedy.
Not to say that his line and body of work, yes, doesn't have incredible elements of humor with him.
But it was really cool to hear that he really wanted to do a comedy. And when he read the script, he was like, I really want to do this movie. I really want to do this one. And he was all about like, can I bring my own comedy to this? Can I do my own thing? And Rob was like, well, let's just stick with the script and see how you go. And we'll see how you play it. And so you'd be like, well, what if I did the character like this, like big? And Rob like, no, just keep it Jean-Claude.
Yeah.
Be Jean-Claude, stick with the script, and it will be funny. And there are scenes in there where you see him like thinking, do I want to be funny or do I want to just deliver the line? And he's delivering the line straight. And it's so fucking funny because it's Jean-Claude delivering. I don't want to give any of this stuff away, but it's Jean-Claude delivering these just pretty straight lines. But the scenarios that he's in are just hysterical. So if you guys get a chance to see it, if it's still in theaters by the time this rolls out.
Well,
we'll put this up next week.
I know we'll also be on demand. So if it's still on demand, go check it out.
Which is off services. Demand. Once on demand,
that's true. I don't think it's ever off.
That's true. Once you get on, you never go.
Well, if you got Jean-Claude in your movie, goddamn it, it's always on demand.
Yeah. It's on demand.
And he has some good flex scenes in there too.
Yeah.
He flexes.
A little bit
flexy? Yeah.
I believe he's still in shape.
He is.
We saw him the other day. We were talking about this earlier.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, that is what a mountain of a man looks like. Mm-hmm. Well, just walking around in a tank top flexing.
Did you get to like wine and dine him or talk to him or hang out with him? Was that like a producer perk?
No, I mean, I wish literally, I really do wish at this point, like, fuck, this is the most boring story ever. I wish I got to meet him. I didn't.
You didn't get, we had more contact with Jean-Claude on this project than you had.
You never met him?
This is true. I never met him. Because he was going to come to the premiere last week because he just happened to be in town, didn't show. And I didn't meet him in the early stages of production at all. I was super bummed. But when we were working on the project that you guys are doing, it was like, oh my God, maybe I'll get to meet him and actually get to work with him and do this kind of thing. Didn't get to do it. Mm-mm. But I've met Rob a number of times and, you know, I met the rest of the cast.
It's not the same,
It's not the same.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, Jean-Claude. I wish it was more entertaining. I wish there was more.
Mm-hmm. No, it's really interesting.
We're going to cut that part out. And
one
just,
man.
Can you just say you met him?
One man. You know, when I met him, it was crazy. I shook his hand and he flipped me and I got a concussion.
Great.
Matt, did you get a concussion then too?
I was trying to save a goal in soccer one time. I got kicked in the head.
Of course,
it was pretty impressive.
Matt,
yes, I did save it.
Though. The NSA knows.
Yeah, we won the game.
They know.
Ethan, this is it's a limited release, correct? It's playing in a few cities?
Select theaters, yes.
Yeah.
So Los Angeles, New York, I believe a couple other cities in between. For a couple of weeks in theaters. If you get a chance to see it in theaters, I would do that. Mm-hmm. If not to support the crew and the people who put a lot of hard work, blood, sweat, and tears into this, but also the cast. I mean, the cast deserves it because they're all really funny. Some of them are lesser known actors playing in big parts in this movie, and they're killing it. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see them get more work, you know. So anything you can do to support the movie would be awesome. Even tweeting it, you know.
You think you can keep producing?
In this case, it worked for me because I knew the director, I trusted the project, mm-hmm. and even though it was a gamble, I still was like, you know, I have money sitting in my bank, I'm not doing anything with it, I might as well give it to someone who can create something really mm-hmm. cool. Mm-hmm. And if it's a feature film, that's awesome.
With Jean-Claude Van Damme.
With Jean-Claude Van Damme. So, you know, I never know. Mm-hmm. If the project comes onto my table that happens to look really promising and something that I would totally want to invest in and get behind the people that are creatively involved, hell yeah.
Like another Jean-Claude movie.
Like another Jean-Claude movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Or another movie or series like VGHS Season 3 with more clutch. Let's just say
the Clutch Tales.
Clutch Tales.
If there happens to be a spin-off.
A spin-off web series of a web series.
Listen, Variety loves you guys. Hollywood loves you guys. I think it's time the Hollywood and Variety love Clutch.
Right?
And I've got a checkbook.
You have every right to take out a full page ad.
I'll be that guy.
See what kind of business we drum up.
I would do a whole series about Clutch. Clutch
he's
would
such
be
an,
pretty good.
He's such yeah. an enigma.
Even like a 3-episode arc that's like a sub series where you watch this one episode and go, if you'd like to see more about Clutch, follow these little 3 episodes.
It's
little
just
micro
you
episodes.
Watching your movie.
It's exclusive Clutch.
There's no more pop.
You also like that's going to be VGHS, but I would say the one thing is I feel like Ethan gets the show. Not that all the actors don't get the show, but I feel like Ethan really gets
yes.
the show.
No,
better
yeah.
than anybody except for maybe Brian Ferenczi. In that you are the oldest looking guy on set. Yeah. You're the youngest acting actor. Like you are yeah. acting like a 7-year-old. Like absolutely. And like I can't. I can't edit those scenes without laughing at
oh,
every single
best.
Take. Like it's always. Is just the most absurd delivery of those lines. It's always incredible.
I can't wait to see what you guys have.
Yeah, we definitely wrote you. Like, I'm the guy who's like, whenever we're writing lines, I'm always, and it's kind of feels shitty for some of the actors, but I'll always be like, oh no, give that line to this person will deliver it better, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I swear, it's like to the problem where I'm always like, every single drifting scene, I'm like, that's clutch. And Will's like, dude, every line in the scene is Clutch. It can't be Clutch talking to himself the whole time.
Why not? I'm with Ethan.
That's why I was like,
Clutch monologue.
What do you mean there's no more pop? I don't know. There's no more pop. But I love pop. Me too. The sugar high that it gives you. Right?
I would put Let's that drift. Scene in. It's oh, incredible.
And just don't explain it. Just don't explain it. And the comments will be like, what the fuck's with the schizo guy?
My favorite moment of season one is the end of the scene when...
Only you and I think it's funny.
No, it is still the funniest scene ever, though. Where it's in the end of a scene, we found this take randomly.
Well, we didn't call cut fast enough, so everybody was quiet, and he just started going, drift,
oh,
drift.
Yeah.
And he just started screaming drift. And to be fair, I think the only thing is funny because we found it. Like, it's one of those 4 a.m. decisions because we found yeah. that take at 4 a.m. and like yeah. me and Freddie could not stop laughing. And we stuck that the end of that scene is now drift, drift, drift. And we showed it to people. We're like, I don't really get what you're doing here. They're like, he's screaming drift. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's an awkward pause, it's and amazing. He's filling it by screaming drift at everybody. Like, that's sheer humor, guys. Like, how do you not see that this is the funniest thing of all time?
Yeah.
And you were killing Jimmy on set during the
when you had from behind camera, when Freddie had to go, Jimmy, keep it together.
Yeah.
Like we stern were running brother late. Talk. That wasn't a director. That was a brother telling
we were
his
running,
brother.
We were running super late.
What's you killing? Yeah, because we've talked about it before. Purgatory, where we changed the set like 2 hours after Sunday. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was, your line was.
It goes down the line. Yeah. So it goes down all the directors. Where it goes from one person says something.
I heard that so-and-so peed his pants.
And then you say.
Yeah, but I heard so-and-so peed his pants. I heard so-and-so did this. I heard so-and-so did this. And it cuts to me. I heard he died. And I look right at Jimmy when I deliver it.
You're the only one looking at Jimmy, too. Jimmy you, could he's not.
And you're like an inch away from him. You're like breathing into
yeah.
his ear. And
I'm
like,
literally like this. I heard he died.
And I think the line is, the first, because the line is actually, I heard some kid died. And the first time he said it, it just came out so much faster. Like, I heard he died. And like, everybody laughed because nobody was expecting that delivery. And then Jimmy couldn't. Even the take we used, he cracked up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We
yeah,
just
yeah.
cut it
right before.
I don't think he had a good take.
For me, that I was just I was more enjoying the relationship that you and him had on set, because it was like you just hear Freddie go, "Jimmy, keep it together. Come on."
It's well, like, I had to leave. That voice is like this. I had to leave. Like I was like, I was watching it. And I was like, I'm cracking up every time. I have to like walk behind the catering and just like bury my head. And I was here in the other room. And just,
yeah. It's amazing when his voice switches from director voice to brother's voice. It's like, when you have a voice on the phone, like your girlfriend calls, you sound like a different voice. You can absolutely tell when you're talking to Jimmy like a brother. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's
interesting.
Night and day.
You're a different person. There's no more pop.
I know there's no more pop, but my girlfriend's on the phone.
What's up, baby?
Matt, do you have girlfriend voice?
No, absolutely. I'm sure I do.
Yeah.
All right. Let's pretend I'm your girlfriend calling you on your phone.
Hey, Matt, you going to take that?
Dink.
Dink. That's the end of that bit.
Dink.
Did he just hang up on me?
After he said dink?
I can't imagine being your girlfriend.
Hello, dink.
Those are those things where I just said what I heard because I hit it against my headphone and it went dink, so I just said the sound I heard in my headphone. So anyway, this is my girlfriend voice.
I'm going to keep calling.
Matt, pick that up.
Straight to voicemail. Straight to voicemail.
Matt, pick it up.
Again.
It's going to be sent to voicemail. It's going to go bloop.
Bleep, bloop,
bloop, bloop. Yeah.
Anyways. I don't know how you survive.
I mean, I ask myself that every day. I really don't know. Yeah, we talk. I mean, we've talked about. I feel like you and me are missing a gene of.
Sort. Yes.
Like I always like. I'm so lucky. I was born now. Like any time before now, I would be dead at this
point.
That's
how I feel.
Yeah. No eyesight. Just like no self control. No ability to like keep track of like my finances or like where my car is. Like I'm just a mess 24/7.
Don't your dome light.
My dome
just
light,
constantly on.
My head is in the clouds all the time.
How many times
do
you have
dead?
To jumpstart your car because you're freaking dome
Never.
Light?
Never.
Because I'm always knocking on his door at 2 in the morning. Matt, your dome light's on.
I couldn't find the terrorist text. I just kept finding texts about my dome light on. From Dez, Jamie, Benji. Yeah. Yeah, they're like, he's got to learn his
lessons. We gave up. Yeah, Matt's got to learn his own lessons.
How was the Dice Awards?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm really bummed out. That they, well, it was fun, first of all. It was an interesting room of people because it was interesting because a lot of developers.
Oh.
And there was a lot of guys who were like, not quite sure if they should laugh at each other and themselves. There's still this thing going on in the game.
They don't have the Hollywood fakeness yet where they know how to just
But it's also, they don't have, I don't think a lot, this whole industry, I don't think has the self-confidence to be okay with having some fun at its own expense.
Definitely not.
So that's a problem, I think, in general. I think that's how you show confidence. If you're able to be self-deprecating, that's someone who's confident. Someone who's really insecure about how they're coming off and, oh, the award show, this is the Oscars, and we got to make sure there's a... That's someone who's not self-confident, you know? So
Dink.
I think the industry as a whole... has that to catch up to.
Did you watch, Ethan?
I did not. I was not even near a computer.
Don't worry, none of us watched.
None of us watched.
No, that's not fair. To be fair, Freddie, everyone who was here in the office, we put it on to show support.
They forced me to. So I got a script and I was like, "Will, Ryan, help me come up with something that's good, that's funny here." Because the original script was kind of like, "Eh, whatever." So we put this thing together. First thing I got when I landed was like, "You have to cut the rock star joke." I'm like, oh, really? Really? Because it's good. Like, yeah, we're indicting them into the Hall of Fame. You can't. Inducting them.
No, I like indicting.
It sounds appropriate.
You can't have this Rockstar joke. So I'll give you the jokes that were cut from release. Here we go. The first one was the Nintendo joke got toned down from being like, oh, let's talk about something else. Well, Nintendo Wii U. And then Felicia says, oh, too soon. And that was the toned down version of it. Originally, it was like the Nintendo Wii U, because in contrast to Xbox One's always on feature, Nintendo's introducing the always off feature because no one buys it. Yeah, something like that. The Rockstar joke, though, was basically.
I love the. Hold on to back up, though. The punchline of that joke is you explaining the joke because no one buys it.
Very few jokes, the
punchline is you explaining it.
Oh, yeah. The Rockstar one was. Rockstar's in a new sort of multiplayer, multi-character storyline allows them to rip up three different crime movies in a single game. And they're like, you can't say that they're ripping off crime movies in their games. I'm like, really? Because
they do.
Because they do.
In their, yeah, every single way. Yeah.
Anyway, but they were not happy with that. And then
so they had to cut it.
Had to cut it.
That's so lame. It's like they should be able to. I mean, you look at like the host of Golden Globes or Oscars. They make fun of everybody.
But not that. They're not at that level.
Well, because we went to that was the interesting thing at the we went to the Producers Guild Awards.
Why was I not invited?
But they don't. They don't. I don't know. I feel like me and Freddie are always pretty interested in like the social like diplomacy of these sort of things.
Yes.
And the producer guilds aren't. I guess they're streamed, but they're non-televised. It's very different.
They're non-televised.
And like there's this. Not Johnny Depp. Robert Downey Jr. introduced like the head of Disney, Bob Iger, and that speech was like the most calculated. Like there was jabbing jokes at Disney, but you could tell that this is like billions of dollars and hundreds of millions of dollars on stage, and it's just incredibly bizarre how I don't know. You could tell, like, but
they
were pretty edgy jokes, like way edgier than that. Like,
oh yeah,
directed towards Bob Iger and the other way around towards Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Grow up, video games. That's the point. Yeah. Take a joke.
Grow up, video games. Yeah.
I think people. I think in general, at the award show, because that was the two things that we got a lot of questions of, which was really weird. All the press and stuff that the pre-interviews was two questions over and over. One.
Clutch in Video Game High School? Where's
Clutch? Always.
I just carry a little card that just answers
there's
that.
There's no more pop. Am I going to the Dice Awards?
Where's the spinoff?
The question I heard nonstop was, number one, hey, so, you know, what do you think about this awards show? You know, it's like, you know, the Oscars. Do you think it's, you know, what do you think about this versus other awards show? I'm like, why do we care so much about reputation of the awards show? And second one's like, so you're scared of, you know, internet trolls and haters? And I was like, no. I don't understand
why. I've
been
a schlubby Asian guy on the internet for 3 years making video game homages. I think I'm pretty used to
it. I think I'm pretty used to it.
I'll be fine.
The ire of the internet. Anyway, it was strange.
That was
fun,
a question
though.
That the press would ask you?
They're like, so what do you think about the trolls, huh? You guys going to, you confident? You're going to, you know, you scared about the comments? I was like,
why didn't you ask, are you?
Yeah. It was just so strange. So
that
strange.
Is strange.
How about you, Ethan? Do you see yourself as a potential master of ceremonies?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love doing it. I really do. I get a kick out of it. I've done the IWTV Awards before. Mm-hmm. They've had me as the voice of God last couple of years. This year, they chose someone else. Not bitter.
Not bitter.
It was God.
Worse. It was God.
That was worse.
But I look at people like Chris Hardwick,
yes.
Who, in my mind, is like just kind of the best host.
Yeah.
You know, you put him in any award ceremony, and you're just like, oh, it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be Chris Hardwick show. I love Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. Like, that combo is brilliant. I think the Golden Globes is brilliant for putting them in charge and letting them just do their thing. Mm-hmm. I know that they go through an editing process as well, but watching those two girls be funny on stage is, it's like watching candy.
That's great.
Because you laugh, and their jokes are great digs. I would love to be at that level. I would love to be some sort of master of ceremonies that can be the Joel McHale, be the Chris Hardwick, really professional, but also kind of have that sense of humor and be able to.
Oh, we had some good Joel McHale.
You're there, Ethan. You're there.
Yeah.
And we had some good Joel McHale digs they made us cut too, so, oh well.
Yeah.
Was he there?
No.
Well, why? Yeah. Why would
here's
the
joke.
Dice Awards?
Here's the joke. Joe McHale was scheduled to be here, but he and his co-host, a box of Franzia, were unable to make it tonight.
Anyway. I like the one you had. Well, you had a whole thing about celebrities.
Oh, yeah, celebrities. Yeah.
Anyways. But hosting is a tough gig.
It's a tough gig. Absolutely.
You're good at Ethan.
Thanks,
it's a special skill set.
Yeah. And you are one of the funniest dudes we know. We got to get you in more of our videos. In addition, of course, the Clutch.
Outside of Clutch. Yeah. I could give you better lines than there's no pop.
Look, I don't want to speak for Matt Dink over here, but the Clutch web series is coming. We're going to make that Clutch web series happen. Matt and I have said it here
first. Dink.
I would love to. That would be fucking awesome. I think the 10 or 20 people that watch the videos.
You know what needs to be? No, back to that. You know what really needs to be? Sorry, we're wrapping up here, but you know what really needs to be? It needs to be like a point and click adventure game where you play
just
as
looking
Clutch,
for pop.
Where you play as Clutch.
Even though you've already got soda, but he's just still looking for
just
it.
No dialogue. It's just like the back of me in an open room, and they can mouse click on any item, and I just walk
and
over
you go
to
up things, and you have like little quips and stuff. Like
in Luigi's Mansion,
games.
You could press a button, and Luigi would just go, where's Mario? And it would just be. You push the button and
oh,
gets, where's the pop? Where's the pop?
Over
and over again.
I'd play that game.
Is it in the couch? Is it in the sink?
No, pop!
That game for 40 hours.
Downloadable title. Coming soon. Yes, Rocket indeed.
We're and a board game version available 2016.
Yes, indeed.
Laura, do you have anything going on that you need to plug besides?
Yeah, the last thing I think I'll plug if people have made it this far.
No, harsh, bro.
Ginger Runner. So my main channel, I've taken a break from the main channel because I've been focusing a lot of energy on the Ginger Runner YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheGingerRunner, and at The Ginger Runner on Twitter, doing ultra marathons and running distances longer than 26 miles and filming it.
How do you do that?
It takes a lot of training and patience and perseverance, but it's been what I've been doing the last couple of years, and just have found this amazing niche that no one else is doing videos for and like creating content. So I've been reviewing gear. So I've been reviewing running shoes and like running gear.
And wait, when you review something that you run 50 miles in nonstop,
you know,
you review it.
You
right?
review it. And I'm the only guy that's actually giving you real opinions. So I'll say what I hate about shoes.
Nice.
You know, there's some shoes I'm like, this is fucking bullshit. What are you thinking? But I also, the main thing I like to plug is that I do these race videos where I film myself while I'm running 50 miles and
Whoa.
Then edit it together in like a nice polished kind of fun 10-minute long piece.
Cool.
Awesome. There's no one else doing it, and I'm really, really proud to kind of be one of them.
To bring the experience the first. Of running 50
miles. I'll
be honest,
you are one of my heroes.
Yeah, you're a
I don't
hero,
know
man.
How you can do
Why
that
Why did you wait
to
till the
body?
End to tell me? Dink.
Just wanted to end on a high note.
On a high uplifting note.
Thanks,
seriously,
guys.
That's a huge inspiration. Yep. That's incredible
that's,
what you do.
It's, what's funny is it's the same for you guys, too. Like, I look up to Rocket Jump and the whole crew here. You guys do some
oh,
amazing
stop.
Shit. I'm not just sucking all of your wangs.
We will, though.
But you can.
Yeah.
It's true.
Anyway.
So, yeah, go check that stuff out.
Awesome. Check The Ginger Runner on YouTube, on Twitter.
You got your
welcome
own...
to the jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome out. To the jungle in theaters.
Indeed.
Select VOD. Theaters this week. And
theaters.
VOD.
Yep. Yeah.
You got your own personal Twitter?
At Ethan Newberry.
There you go.
Yeah.
So check out Ethan, everybody. That's all we got for this week. So thanks to, of course, Ethan for showing up.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for the
absolutely,
beer, too.
Man.
Co-host Matt Arnold.
Thank you.
Dez Dolly, our Googler in the corner. We have to figure out a title for you, Benji Dolly.
He has one. It's producer.
Producer.
That's not why we hired him.
That's true. Producer and Googler in the corner.
Google Hall enthusiast.
And, of course, recording, engineering, and mixing by Alex Reeves of Point of Blue. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next time.